The Big Dog and Pete Rose. Two topics I love to talk about, even though the subject matter is tough at times, and I know Steve also liked talking about Pete Rose. A quick thank you, not only to all of you who listen to the Todd Wright Toddcast and have, as we are approaching episode 350, we've been at this for so long, that's just with this particular podcast. Of course, I've done 9 seasons of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Looks like we'll do a 10th. The following help pay for these podcasts, so you don't have to. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. For a free consult, visit brandonlegalgroup.com for any of your legal needs. That's why they are a full-service law firm. Or call 813-902-3576. We are almost 2 years since Governor Ron DeSantis signed into Florida law the elimination of permanent alimony. What that means is if you are an adult male and a state of Florida resident and you are actively paying permanent alimony, the law has been on your side for nearly 2 years to alleviate or potentially eliminate future financial payments. Don't wait any longer. That's just one of the services they offer, but it's one that they want me to emphasize. Stop paying permanent alimony. BrandonLegalGroup.com. They are big supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, and I thank them. Very grateful for the relationship. Pin Chasers, very grateful for that relationship. As I spoke to Anthony Peroni within the last week, the Peroni family are huge football fans. They do so much for the community. They have 4 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area for you to bowl without paying to rent bowling shoes. Cannot emphasize this enough. Just about every place you go to bowl, other than Pin Chasers, is going to charge you to use their bowling shoes. Pin Chasers will not charge you. And in some cases, let's say you're a party of 4, family of 4, 4 adults, doesn't matter. That's around $40, could be a little less, could be a little more, that Pin Chaser says, no, keep that in your pocket. Just return the shoes. That's one of the things they do at their bowling centers that just about nobody else does. So you are saving money bowling at Pin Chasers as opposed to bowling elsewhere, unless you own your own bowling shoes. A little snobby, but I can respect it. Would fault, I'm a golf snob. For bowling food and fun, lane reservations, party planning, and they do parties very well. Go to pinchasers.net also to see all their specials, all their unlimited bowling nights, the breakfast bowl, specials on food and beverage, what days, what times. Follow them on Instagram. They're very active there. They post a lot of pictures of people having a really good time in there. It's at pinchasers on Instagram. Email Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Why haven't I heard from any of you in a while? You guys okay? You want to ask if I'm okay? ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. We wrapped up the most recent season of the Todd Wright Tour with the Todd Wright Tour Championship, our 51st event at West Chase Golf Club in early April. I chose not to host an event after April this year for the first time in a while, for a lot of reasons. One was golf course availability. That was one of them. That 2 courses that had hosted the previous 4 events all held May, June-ish. One is being totally renovated and shut down, Eagle Brook. And we had just played Lake Geveta North, Lake Geveta South, and hope to go back there in the future. They gave us a very good rate. Inflation seemed to dictate otherwise this time, so we wait, and I hope to go back in the future. They were very good to us in successive years. So the Todd Wright Tour will return after Labor Day. That is the plan. Nothing is on sale, but I have started to look at some promotional items to be part of the contest and gift packages that are available at a future tournament. I said I'd talk about the big dog and Pete Rose. Pete Rose was an often topic from Steve Dumig on his talk shows in my home of the Tampa Bay area. It's funny, I thought of Steve as I drove yesterday past a place he frequented because he lived nearby, a couple of places in the Carillon Feather Sound area. And I thought of him as I drove, 688, 686, heading towards Largo for something yesterday afternoon, not realizing that the next day, which is now today, May 16th, is the unfortunate 6-year, it's not an anniversary, that's not the right word, but it's the date, it's 6 years since Steve passed, since I got the call, since many got the call, and we learned that Steve was gone. My golf tournaments owe a debt of gratitude to Steve for helping get them started by talking on the air about them with me and even when I wasn't there. A number of my players over those 51 events knew and listened to Steve in the Tampa Bay market, and we honor Steve's memory at every single tournament. If you follow me on social media, Facebook, just Todd Wright in Tampa, Instagram, ToddWright2121. Every tournament I will post the signage we put up on the golf course, and it usually has some of my players posing with it who knew him. We actually used to have a second sign to go with it that said, "Big Dog says grip it and rip it." That sign got stolen so much, I stopped replacing it. Yeah, people were stealing it. I can't be too mad about that, but I'm like, they're not stealing the sign memorializing Steve that we put up with his year of birth and 2019 for the year we lost him. So he's with us at every tournament. I still wear, have it on right now, one of the blue wristbands given out at his Celebration of Life event, attended by many good people from the sports industry and around the Tampa Bay area. It was held at Feather Sound Country Club. I sat behind Bill Wickett, formerly of the Lightning, now with the Nashville Predators, and the great Latonna Stone, now passed her college golf eligibility at LSU. I believe it's the Epson Tour that she's currently playing on. Her parents have always been big supporters of mine. Her dad was a big listener of the Big Dog. Big Dog was a big supporter of Latonna's youth golf efforts, paired with her an event that I believe I emceed or was a part of over at Tampa Bay Downs 1 year. So it's been 6 years. I can still hear Steve's laugh. And Steve, thank you for all you did for me. And I hope you appreciate there's a place for you on the tee box, literally, at every single Todd Wright Tour golf tournament. So I know Steve would appreciate that I'm talking for a few minutes today about Pete Rose. Now, I think the last time I brought up Pete Rose was when, roughly less than a year after we lost Steve, we started going into COVID and the world shut down. And I came on this microphone and I said, I won't shut down. We'll keep talking and we'll talk about things that people want to talk about. And I gave an example. I said, Pete Rose. All you need to do is bring up the name Pete Rose. I brought that up as my first sort of thing of the where the hell is this world headed COVID podcast in March of 2020. I said there are topics that we can all use to distract us that we can talk about. And Pete Rose was one example. And I kind of never did it. I found other things to talk about. I also hosted golf tournaments as a distraction. Even pulling off out of nowhere, hosting my 25th event at Walt Disney World because the parks were shut down. Relatively no one was on Interstate 4. So all of us based in Tampa could get in our car, drive up I-4, make a tee time in an hour or so, leave there, deal with no traffic because there was nobody attending the parks, and drive back home to Tampa in an hour. It was bizarre. So when I get the question, Todd, when are we playing at Disney again? I'm tempted to say when there's another pandemic, not that we want one of those. So we never had the conversation about Pete. People close to me, like my college friend Bill Reinhardt, who I played golf with recently at River Hills, one of the best guys I've ever called a friend, Bill Reinhardt. In that Steve Dumick category is what he means to me. Bill, also a Reds fan. We talked about it over the round of golf, and this was post Pete passing on. And Bill's a witness, and there are others that I have said for, I don't know, 10 or more years. When people asked me, is Pete ever going to get in the Hall of Fame? I said, yeah, after he dies. So now the reaction we'll acknowledge for those of you who didn't hear. The current Major League Baseball commissioner within the last week did announce that Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson, and I want to point something out about Shoeless Joe, their bans from baseball will not cause them to be disqualified from Hall of Fame consideration. I was listening to a Rays broadcast. I enjoy those. And I heard Andy and Neil say that the earliest I think we can get to Pete and or Shoeless Joe getting in is in 3 years, in 2028. That's not because of them. That's just the procedure. Now, Rob Manfred could get involved further. I doubt he will, and say, no, I'll waive that. Do you want to put him in next year? And we'll go ahead and do it. I doubt he'll do it because what he did was a huge deal, because being the commissioner of baseball is an enormous deal. And there are bro codes you wouldn't believe with prior commissioners. You've watched the National Treasure movies and the Book of Secrets and the things that presidents know and talk about that they can't share with anyone. It's like that. And there wasn't a commissioner after the death of Giamatti, particularly Faye Vincent, who was involved in all this at the time with the banishment of Pete, that was going to overturn the ban of Rose for betting on baseball. They weren't going to do it. Or the code was, it's a lifetime ban. And when his life is over, the ban is over. As Manfred said in his statement, not specific to Pete, but said, these players can't do further damage to the game. There also is often introduced now it's a time warp hypocrisy about betting on baseball and betting on the Reds that people actively do while at the games, while the actual players and managers of the Reds and in Major League Baseball are still not permitted to do that. But baseball makes money off people betting on the Reds and betting on baseball. In a recent either Max or HBO Sports documentary done, one of the last things done on Pete, if you didn't watch it, I recommend it. I think it's well done. Pete talks about Shoeless Joe, and I could do a whole separate thing on Shoeless Joe Jackson, who ironically was, you know, one of eight, the movie Eight Men Out. Not great movie, but it's still based on a true story. When the Chicago White Sox, hence known in history as the Black Sox scandal, took money to lose the World Series, the opponent was the Cincinnati Reds. That was the first time the Reds won the World Series, was when Shoeless Joe Jackson and seven others accepted money to not win. I believe Charlie Sheen was in that movie. I haven't watched it in a while. So when Shoeless Joe is brought up to Pete in the documentary, and I'm sure in the years leading up to it, Pete actually speaks about Shoeless Joe and then apologizes, points above, and says, "I'm sorry, Joe, and I'll talk to you about this, and I'll see you soon." Because Pete wanted to not be, he said his situation was different than Joe's for this reason. Joe bet against his own team. Joe threw the game. Joe threw the World Series. Pete says he never bet against his own team. He says that's the difference. It was never proven that Pete bet against the Reds. I've done my homework. If it was out there, they chose not to disclose it. Who's they? The people that investigated. And there was a lot of investigation going on. It wasn't just the Dowd report. I have no reason, no evidence to dispute Pete saying that's the difference between him and Shoeless Joe. Joe Jackson threw a game, threw the World Series. Pete did not. It doesn't absolve what Pete did. I get it. I've lived it. I have. So you get now this reaction from people with varying levels of interest or knowledge in the situation, saying to put him in after he dies is more of an insult than not putting him in when he was alive. They have a right to say that. I don't think they're correct. You can honor people posthumously. You can. I'm a spiritual person. I am not religious, at least not as of today. I was not raised that way. My grandfather was, my grandmother was not. It wasn't just that Pete bet against his own team. That kind of was the final, that's the thing that gets the most attention. And that he was doing it while he was managing the Reds. There is so much more there. And it's years of gambling on various things. How he led his life. Who his friends were. How he made his money. Marty Brenneman, one of the best baseball announcers I ever heard, who gave me a nice compliment a number of years ago saying he would listen to my show on Sports Radio 910 in Tampa as he would head in to call a Reds game. I believe those were in the Plant City Stadium days, may have been in the Al Lopez Stadium days where Pete got his start. With the Reds. And Pete was a big fan of the Tampa Bay area because he would run what was called the triple. It was either the trifecta, ironically enough. What is now Tampa Bay down. He would do his workout or play a spring training game in Tampa and or Clearwater in later years with the Phillies. Get done. head to the horse track for the remaining races at what is now Tampa Bay Downs, where he also met and kept company with some people. Then they go to Derby Lane for greyhound racing for the evening. And then they'd leave Derby Lane maybe a little before the race card ended, and they'd go across the Gandy Bridge to Tampa High Line and catch late High Line action there. That was the trifecta. And because Pete never drank, he chose not to, because as he said, put me against the guy who's had a drink the next day, I'm always in better shape to be better than that guy. So Pete would still be first at the Al Lopez or Plant City Stadium the next day. Plant City Stadium was, I think, only in his managerial days. And do it all over again. But it got to a point where even Marty Brenneman knew about it. The voice of the Reds. What's Pete doing? And this is before the allegations that Pete was betting on the Reds or that Pete was betting on baseball. But Pete was betting. And he was betting enough in terms of quantity and amount and connecting with people that got a lot of people worried. It got Johnny Bench worried. It got commissioners worried. It got management of the Reds worried. It got just people involved with the game worried. It was Pete's lifestyle, and no one could talk him out of doing it. And there may have been more there other than just money related to gambling, also potentially in other areas, such as it being involved with people who were involved with substances that were illegal. The company Pete kept on his own time when he was doing his own things scared people as much as the amount of money he was gambling and what he was gambling on. It was only until he was managing the Reds and remember, he was a player manager for a while, and there were some phone calls being made. There are call records. It's before cell phones. Into the clubhouse. In call, out call. And Pete giving some people access to the clubhouse that made players, Red staff, baseball staff, very uncomfortable. And when you know about how Pete lied, right? But they came to Pete when he was still managing the Reds and gave him a chance to just fall on the sword and make this go away, and he wouldn't do it. He admitted to betting on football. He admitted to betting on horses. You know, his dad used to take him to a track in Cincinnati. That's where Pete got the rush in the first place. His dad died young. But he wouldn't admit to betting on baseball, and he wouldn't admit to betting on the Reds when he was managing them. And that's when it got to a point when they had him. That was it. And that's why it built up, and then suddenly Pete was gone. So what has occurred in the last week is about what I expected. I'm not offended by it. I don't think Pete's offended by it. I can't speak for him, but I am a lifelong fan of the Big Red Machine. I remember my former producer, Louise, sent me a text when Pete died and said, "Hey, you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." I said, "I feel bad for Pete because I think in his later years, I don't know that he died alone, but he seemed a lonely guy." He said in the Max HBO Sports documentary, he wasn't placing bets later in his life. He was just kind of alone, except when he did signings or appearances and, you know, would speak at gatherings and could turn it on. It seemed like his personal life was very lonely. It's a cautionary tale. He mentioned in the documentary how, you know, the one he was paid the most to sign was because he had a lot of different inscriptions on balls. Hit King 4256. You know, he could inscribe MVP, World Series champions. The inscription that he said, this is the one they want the most. Pete Rose, I'm sorry I bet on baseball. Where was I going with that? As a longtime fan of the Big Red Machine, I was more of a fan of Johnny Bench. And you know, we all have our favorite sports teams, and we know sometimes when you have multiple stars on a team, they're not buddy-buddy. They can be. Jordan and Pippen weren't buddy-buddy. They weren't. Bench and Rose weren't. Now, Bench has come out and said afterwards he was on board with what Manfred did. I'm not surprised by that. This also at a Hall of Fame induction a number of years ago. I forget which Red went in. It may have been Morgan, but Morgan may have already been in. It may have been one of the later Reds. And Bench was sitting there and everyone in Cooperstown. Actually, I think it was an induction of Mike Schmidt, who'd always been a big proponent of Pete and a superstar player. I never have had any love for the Phillies, but I love Mike Schmidt. And Mike was always a fan of Pete's. Loved being a teammate of Pete's. Won a World Series with Pete, 1980, when Pete was on that four-year, when Pete finally got to free agency. And Pete always cared about money, so this always fueled him, was part of the whole gambling thing and why he ran with the crowd he did. Because he was obsessed with how much money he made being the first million-dollar player in baseball. He did turn down, I do want to say, when he finally got to free agency, when the world was different, there was only one American League team that wanted to sign Pete. And some of this might have been kept down by the crowd Pete ran with and some of the distractions even back then in the 70s, back when Pete was in his 30s. But the Kansas City Royals were interested. They were the only American League team, according to the research I've done, that showed interest in Pete. Pete didn't go to the Phillies because they offered him the most money. It was a lot at that time, 4 years, around $3.25 million, about $750,000. No, a little more, right? More than $750,000 a year. More like $800,000 or more, $850,000 a year. But Pete wanted to go somewhere where he thought he could win. Ted Turner made Pete the sweetest deal. Because Ted was just getting the Braves up and running on his superstation out of Atlanta with the birth of cable television. And he knew Pete would be a draw. And the Braves stunk. So Ted offered Pete reportedly 4 years, $4 million, and $100,000 for the rest, every year for the rest of his life, whether he was playing for the Braves after those 4 years or not. That was the Ted Turner deal, to get Rose involved with the Braves. And Pete turned that down because the Braves were bad. And perhaps, this is my opinion, he didn't like how the Braves and Gene Garber celebrated breaking Pete's 44-game hit streak. That's just for me. So yeah, you can see I care about this. I don't lose sleep over it. I never did. I do have signed balls and cards from Pete, and I've always thought he was very interesting. And no one will ever have 4,256 hits. That's the reasons he should be in the Hall of Fame. But there were enough reasons for baseball to do what it did then and now to do what it is doing. And that is just my thought on the topic. Miss you, Pete. Miss you, Steve. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. I welcome your feedback at write.todd@yahoo.com, and we'll talk to you next time.